So I need to hand that out for about maybe a couple Sundays ago. It's certainly a new book. It's called Old Testament History of William Smith and Wilbur Smith. It's a pretty old book. It's one that I will just make handout for it, and sometimes I forget to give you credit. So most of the handouts I'm giving you is from this this book, and I recommend. This is an autographed copy of it. This is really kind of precious to me. It's got not his name on it, not the knockout, but my grandchildren's signature right here. I don't know which one it is. That's one of the little boys in the only got one of this is an autographed copy. So if you see it laying around, don't let it go away. Anyway, yeah, the handouts I'm giving you, a lot of them, I didn't give credit to that. This one. You will take one of these from. Chapters, you recall?
Six, seven, eight.
Yeah, that was a pretty big sign. When I got home and started going through the material, I was like, there's no way we won't cover that much material. Anyway, even if we don't quite make it all the way to the end of Genesis, we don't make it all the way into Genesis, but I don't want to go over particularly chapter six, first part of it, without some fault. I tell you, you have a front and back, you should have a front and back on what you do. Concerned, and this model lives were providing more time to sin for some and more time to repent and be close to God for others. And that's kind of what we're looking at when we're looking at the lineages. The left side of the chart will be with Cain and the worldly, or the those who are concerned with worldly things. On the right side is more of the line of those who are spiritual. In the scripture, there says, and Adam knew his wife again, she bore a son and called his name Seth, which he said, God has appointed for me another offspring instead of Abel, for Cain killed him. Seth also, a son was born, and he called his name Enoch. And, this is the phrase, at that time, people began to call upon the name of the Lord. So there's a period of time that we're talking about here where there is spirituality, at least on the right-hand side of these lineages here. Seth, folks, Enoch, they began to call upon the name of the Lord. So there's spirituality. Now, how long that lasted is not easy to determine. Because we'll see later on that all these folks, what? Except for a select few. That their ancestors, lineage died in the world. So you see that there was a time of righteousness, a time of falling away, and then a time also we'll see that that God allowed for repentance for any of those that were good before the Lord came. That's how we're looking at these lineages. I'm going to get this out of the way before I ask. We have leaders. But I wanted to read this and kind of get something on the table, maybe off the table before we go any further. And it's from this Old Testament, let's read it by William Smith. And I'll read it if you follow along with me, okay? We have seen the ways of Cain inventing the implements of industry and art, and we can have no doubt that their intentions were adopted by the project of Seth. During what is Cain's side of it? It's Seth's side also. During the years before the flood, vast strides were made in knowledge and civilization. Arts and sciences reached the rightness of which the record from the scantiness conveys no adequate conception. So we don't know exactly how much of this industry. Most of this is on Cain's side, talked about the industry, the ability of the crafts and whatnot was lost in the flood. There was a period of catch up, of course, the destruction caused by the flood must have obliterated a thousand discoveries and left man to recover again by slow and basis of the ground they had lost. By the grace of Seth, also became infested. But the race itself also became infested with the devices of the Canaanites. This seems to be the only reasonable sense of the intermarriage between the sons of God, sons of Elohim, and the daughters of men. We read about that in Genesis 6, verse 22. We read that. We may put aside all fantasies borrowed from heathen mythology respecting the union of superhuman beings with mortal women, and assume that both parties were of the human race. The family of Seth, who preserved their faith in God, and the family of Cain, who lived only for this world, had hitherto kept distinct. But now a mingling of the two races took place, which resulted in the thorough corruption of the former. We falling away plunged into the deepest abyss of wickedness. We are also told that this union produced a stock conspicuous for physical strength and courage. Here is a frequent mistake to confound confuse and confound these mighty men of old, men of renown, with confusing with giants. The giants, the Nephilim, and Hebrews talks about the Nephilim, from whom they are expressly distinguished. On the whole, it seems that the pre-flood world had reached a desperate pitch of wickedness, the climax of which was attained by the fusion of the two races. The two races he's talking about is what we're looking at there, the Canaanites and the this wickedness were lust and brutal outrage. If you read the part of the reading, you know that this guy, Limerick, was a bragger, wasn't he? What did he brag about? He bragged about his power, his strength. First of all, he had several wives, which is the first time I mentioned him. And then he bragged about how wicked he was, how mean he was, how he would, Cain was avenged, he would be avenged seven more times. So that's how he felt about how he was. The critical picture of the prayer drawn by Peter and Jude evidently refers to the three blood things, was a pattern of the wickedness of the last lady, which shall again make the world ripe for destruction. An animal of divine forbearance only brought this wickedness to its height. Jehovah says, my spirit shall not strive with all the strife of men, for that they are flesh, and their days shall be 120 years. From the context, consider that the 120 years spoken of here was a space where man had to repent before they had to face the judgment of the worldwide flood. Notice that after the flood, human beings live much longer than 120 years. That's the context. And today men live much less than 120 years. So it's a good application there, probably. A lot of people can't live. About 120 years. And I've often, I used to say, I don't know when I realized I was taking it wrong, that meant we're supposed to live 120 years. But anyway, that's I thought we'd lay that out on the table before we even started our reading. We'll talk about some more of this later on, but we'll talk more about it. And that's what we're doing. Now, this thing, do you have a copy of this? This, you may ask me, if we get before you, there's not a word to hand you this out. I'm talking about past. How many of you use interlinear when you study Bible? This is a subject. Particularly, if it's a question, a controversial portion of the Bible, it's helpful to go to interlinear, or if you have different translations of the same material from the original Greek or the and compare them, it gives you better insight into what that passage, what particular passage is talking about. Quite frankly, I have never used an interlinear Hebrew text. But I did this time. This is something I'm probably going to use more of. Particularly since I know the Arabic language fairly well. I'm not fluent in respect to being able to read books in Arabic. I can read newspapers in Arabic, or I can write the Arabic script. I teach Arabic over at Bible Learning. But I thought it would be nice to compare what the Arabic Bible and the Hebrew Bible say about this particular passage. And that's what this is. This is just, in color. Because there are two things, the definitions are very important in this controversial passage of Genesis 6, verses 1 through 6. There is an Arabic word which is coincidentally, for the English of the language, it's bit. It means verb bit. Yes. They must take everything to get around with. That's somebody who said for the alright, but and then you're familiar probably with Eric Gordon, which also goes into the lane, Ben, right? Mohammed bin Talib. Saud bin Abdulazi. Ben, his son. Ben, his son. Ben and Ben, if you will. They are almost the same words in Hebrew. See, if you see that the handout, and I've circled in the interlinear. The interlinear has the English words and daughters. Do you see that? And daughters. Mm-hmm. And the Arabic also has that same word, Ben, down here on the bottom. That's very descriptive. A little bit of difference in pronunciation, but mostly the same. Ben know what? For Hebrew, and then that tune for the Arabic. And so, if you look at these words, here's a couple of words that they mean. We need to define these words when we start looking at this passage. When it says men, is it talking about a particular man, or men, or is it talking about people? When it says the men of Sodom, we're not just talking about the men, we're talking about the people of Sodom, right? Daughters of Zion, we're only talking about the ladies of Zion. No, we're talking about the people of Sodom. So we can see how there is some interchangeability in some of these words. We need to get that in mind. And also, if you have other versions of the Bible, reading those passages in those versions will also help you shed some light. The Arabic, let's see, here at the top it says, the Hebrew word hagadin, men, and but the Arabic word is not men. See the red here? The law means man. And that word right there is in red. The second word on the down there means people. That means men. This word up here, MS, means people. This word up here, again, or whatever, how you say the Hebrew, I know that's word of people that have shown to be again, as a noun, which means man. All right. Why did I go through all that jumping? Because it is something you may need to do when you want to pin this down for sure. If this passage or any other passage, interlinearities are helpful. And it's helpful also to compare different languages. It's not just English, it's different languages. So it's not that bad. Okay? And as we'll see, as you'll see if we read, you need to stop and think about what these words mean in English. And of course, in any language, they don't have the same sentence structure as we have. They don't read exactly like we would read that word. In this case, if you read word for word, it reads, and began the people to multiply on the face of the earth, and they gave birth to God. And here in the Hebrew, it says, and it came to pass when began men to multiply on the ugly, on the face of the earth, the face of the earth, and others were born to them. So there's different syntax, some words, some structure, and that's the word that they're coming out. Okay, just another page out of the interlinear shows those same words. When the sons of God saw the daughters of men, daughters of the people were beautiful, they took the women they wanted. Now, the heresy, if you will, of sons of God being angels coming down and mating with human beings, if you take it word for word without understanding that that can mean other things, some of these words can lead you to false understandings. Everybody follow what I'm talking about? It's confusing. All I'm saying is that sometimes words can mean other things than you might think about it. And some people jump into conclusions. Particularly, we have a background of mythology where there was mating between man and gods, which is Zeus and the Greek mythology.
we can jump to some wrong conclusions. They people have jumped to some wrong conclusions about this. Nowhere is there any indication that a heifer being made with a human being. Someone would say, there's the exception of Jesus. Well, I don't know that there's any mating going on there. But the Lord made this happen when the Holy Spirit did that through Mary. There was no mating as in marriage of a man and a woman. All right. Again, that's the other thing. In the Word, let some of those people have taken a hands-off approach to death. Let them look on as hard as they can. It's a strange thing because it's not readily defined. They just transliterated the word Nephilim. The word written that long time ago is still, the word itself is still in our vocabulary today. And there's great confusion over what it is. Okay, today's reading though. Genesis 6, 1 through Genesis 7, verse 24.
Good morning.
Good morning. I think this is what we want to cover. Oh, we have readers. Patricia, are you here?
Yes.
Okay, Jeff, are you here? Elaine's here, and Betty's here. These are the passages that I would like you to read with. Patricia, Genesis 6, verses 1 through 8. Jeff, Genesis 6, verses 9 through 22. Ray, Genesis 7, verses 1 through 10. And then Betty, Genesis 7, verses 11 through 24. When I first looked that up there, we had that whole sheet of covers. But this is all we're going to try to cover. Are you ready? Everybody ready to read? Okay, any questions? Ray, Genesis 7, verses 1 through 10. We're starting with Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6 is where we start. We'll read. And then the first three will read Patricia. And then Chuck will read Genesis 6, verses 9 through 22. And then later you'll pick it up Genesis 7, verses 1 through 10. And then Betty, you'll pick up the rest of chapter 7. Okay? Are we ready? Patricia.
Genesis 6, 1 through 7. Human beings began to increase. The sons of God followed the Lord, were beautiful, and they married any of them they chose. Then the Lord said, my spirit will not contend with humans forever, for they are mortal. Their days will be 120 years. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterwards, when the sons of God went to the Lord again, they had children by them. They were the heroes of old, men of renown. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inmate of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was evil. So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures.
Okay,
and
the verse that I got on this slide says, the Lord now favors the master. Okay, we've already talked about this a little bit. Maybe we'll go ahead and talk about this. What are your thoughts about the previous conversation, what the faith would say, and what the Lord for us in the scripture? Any additional thoughts of what we talked about up here in the world? What about 120 years? Do you disagree with that, or do you agree with that? Is the Lord saying, okay, how long did it take Noah to build the ark? Three questions. that's the normal thing people say. Well, if you look at it, actually, he didn't start building until all after this 120 year period of what they did. So it took him according to a lot of some sources to try to figure out yourself. With the period for Dennis, on your point, for the time he said, I'm going to wash, I'm going to wipe humanity.
Is this fascinating? That means they probably must have been told that when they went out and told the other people, even though they hadn't started building.
I don't suspect the preaching started right away.
Right.
No, and that's when people started saying they got it off the block. Those things have always been the right thing about people.
Well, they still have time to go get the material and bring it to wherever we go to our act. I don't think everything was sitting right here.
So you're saying they may be at a preparation period. It makes sense.
Well, that's when they were telling them, but they didn't, as you say, they didn't actually start building.
First mail or whatever, they're living there.
Right.
Okay, let's go with the public to read now. Genesis 6, verses 9 through 22.
This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on the earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood, and make rooms in it, and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you will build it. The ark is to be 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. Make a roof for it, leaving below an opening for 1 cubit high all around. Put a door inside of the ark and make it lower. Make lower, middle and upper decks. I am going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all the life under the heavens. Every creature that has the breath of life in it, everything on earth will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will be through the ark, and you and your sons. And your wife and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, keep them alive for you. Two of every kind of bird and every kind of animal and every kind of creature that lives along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and stored away as food for you and your family. Know that everything just in God.
I like the idea of reading without comments, but I also like to read the comments. See, that pluses and minuses, because I think the pluses are better. What are your thoughts about this? Okay, was it really an art? And that's the question that you society didn't know to ask. You really didn't know. If you ever get to the point where you think that any of this scripture is fable, one portion of it, and one is God. It's all faith. And the literal way of thinking that they accept some portion of it, some of this part of my religion, but this part of my religion, and then it can all be considered faith. And that's what some of them have done. That's the entire part of the world. So that's your offspring. So it's all faith. It's me.
And reading and looking at these men or these the women and the
giants.
Yeah, you mentioned earlier about, they, I just try to take God's word as faith by as best I can, because I don't want to ever get myself in a position where I'm assuming something that's not, should I say, not in evidence.
Right.
I like to just go ahead on and try to accept that and not go on the deep end, you know. Sometimes you can go assuming something that's not there.
Yeah, and okay, we're, and we keep going back to Deuteronomy 29:29.
Yeah.
Some things God revealed, some things
He has. Some things He has.
If you're going to try to manufacture something about what God has said, there's no basis. You're going to go off on some tangent.
Sometimes we read into what's being said.
Right.
We think this is what the Bible says, so I believe it. But sometimes, if you were describing with 120 years, or with the sons of God marrying the daughters of women, sometimes what we think reading, we say, well, the Bible says it, it must be true. Sometimes we misunderstand. And so we have to be careful to separate what we know from what we assume that we're reading incorrectly.
That's right. And things that influence us too, like Dante's Inferno. Okay, that's completely made up, but people believe it. And also the things like he said that the angels, this is talking about angels here. That now influences that kind of thing. We're supposed to be angels, marital relationship. But literature, and I guess what we're saying is, things around about it, but particularly literature will affect our way of thinking. And that's what happens with a lot of people's beliefs. What's next is Genesis 7, verses 1 through 10.
All right. Then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. You shall take with you seven each of every clean animal, a male and his female, two each of animals that are unclean, a male and his female, also seven each of birds of the air, male and female, to keep the species alive on the face of all the earth. For after seven more days, I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I have made. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters were on the earth. So Noah with his son, his wife, and his son's wife went into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Of clean animals, of animals that are unclean, of birds, and of everything that creeps on the earth. Two by two, they went into the ark to Noah, male and female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were on the earth.
In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, on that day all the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah and Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them entered the ark. They and every beast after its kind, all cattle after their kind, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth after its kind, and every bird after its kind, every bird of every sort. And they went into the ark to Noah, two by two, of all flesh in which is the breath of life. So those that entered, male and female, of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Now the flood was on the earth 40 days. The waters increased and lifted up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. The waters prevailed and greatly increased on the earth, and the ark moved about on the surface of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly on the earth, and all the high hills under the whole heaven were covered. The waters prevailed 15 cubit upwards, and the mountains were covered. And all the flesh died that moved on the earth, birds and cattle and beasts and every creeping thing on the earth and every man. And all in whose nostrils was the breath of the spirit of life, all that were on the dry land died. So he destroyed all the things which were on the face of the ground, both man and cattle. They destroyed on the earth. Only Noah, those who were living in the ark, remained alive. And the waters were kept in the earth 150 days.
But they're also, I wanted to see, show everybody, Thank you very much. Good comment.